printed on both sides.
Okay.
All right. It is 1:37 on Friday, April 11, 2014. Call this meeting of the House Resources Committee to order. We have with us this afternoon Representative Hawker, Vice Chair Representative Wilson, Representative Seaton, Co-Chair Feige, myself, Co-Chair Sadler, with Forum to Do Business, and Representative Kawasaki joined us as well. Please turn off your phones or turn them to silent. And we have one item on today's agenda, which is Senate Bill 190, Delegation of Guide Outfitter Duties. And this will be our first hearing on this legislation. So I would ask the Senator's staff to come up and present the bill. And Representative Johnson has joined us. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee, for hearing this bill this afternoon. Sincerely appreciate your time and scheduling this for us. Excuse me. The committee substitute for Senate Bill 190. Oh, sorry.
Record.
Okay.
Just give us your name of the record.
Oh, sorry. Okay. My name is Gary Zapp, staff to Senator Charlie Huggins. The committee substitute for Senate Bill 190, the Labor and Commerce version C, should be in front of you. I want to make clear that this is not related to Senate Bill 160, the hunting guides concession programs. I just want to make sure that that's clearly distinguished. Give you a little background. In the late 1980s, the legislature reviewed and enacted statutes related to the guide outfitter industry, and unfortunately, the statutes enacted inadvertently made it illegal to compensate unlicensed persons to pack game meat, hides, and perform other basic camp chores. Additionally, the guide outfitter industry couldn't hire an unlicensed person in an apprenticeship or training structure to perform certain guide services and also receive compensation. So just a little background for the legislation, why it was necessary. The bill in front of you allows a registered guide outfitter to delegate the packing of game meat, hides, and other gear to unlicensed person and be compensated for carrying out those duties. Section, and please note, it is illegal currently to compensate an unlicensed person for packing meat under AS 08.54.799C. Excuse me. The Section 1B allows enables a guide outfitter to hire unlicensed persons for apprenticeship training in the big game guide industry, which helps them to qualify to be an assistant guide, and most importantly, to be compensated for those services. And as I've mentioned before, or in addition to that, note that a licensed registered guide outfitter, a Class A assistant guide, or an assistant guide must be physically present while training the unlicensed persons related to Section 1B. And lastly, this legislation clarifies existing statutes and makes a registered guide outfitter equally responsible for a violation of state or federal or game guiding statute or regulation committed by a person while the person provides guide services for the guide outfitter during the course of the person's employment. In summary, this legislation provides solutions for the guide outfitter industry and clarifies existing laws regarding a guide outfitter's responsibilities. As you can imagine, it's difficult to find folks to work for free. And please note, we do not have any current opposition to this proposed legislation, either from the Alaska Wildlife Troopers, from the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, from the Big Game Commercial Services Board, from the Alaska Professional Hunters Association, from the Alaska Outdoor Council, from the Safari Club International. And one more additional note, if I could, is we have 2-0 fiscal notes from the Department of Public Safety and one from the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. And that concludes my...
Might be just easier to say, does anybody oppose it?
Initially, sir, we did have one concern area in the previous hearing, and it was in Section 1B with the word delegation. And after the concern was raised, I met with the guide outfitter, and we addressed it and did an amendment and created a committee substitute to replace delegate in Section 1B with assist, just because there was concern that delegation was too much authority to give to an unlicensed person.
Sure. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Zepp. Questions for the presenter, Representative Seaton?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill looks good to me, except I have a question on the meaning on page 1, line 14, where we're saying this unlicensed person can tracking, killing, and attempting to kill the animal. Is this an interpretation that an unlicensed person that's with the guide can actually do the hunting for someone else in the field and can actually shoot or with archery bow hunt the animal for someone else that's there instead of the client conducting the hunt?
For the record, Gary Zepp again. Through the chair of Representative Seaton, my understanding is that through this apprenticeship training program, they would be assisting, but they would not be instructing a client. Only the guide outfitter, the Class A assistant guide, or the assistant guide. But they can assist and go along with any one of the licensed folks.
Representative Seaton.
Well, I'm just trying to read the wordings here, where it's a, you know. And it says, for training purposes established by the board, a person who is not licensed and may assist in providing guide services in the field of trophies, stalking, pursuing, tracking, killing, and attempt to kill big game, et cetera. And so I just want to get the clarification on the record. Sure. That this is not a substitution so that the client is not hunting. And someone else is hunting for the client because they can track and kill the animal. I mean, I understand going after an animal that has been wounded or that kind of thing. I'm just trying to get the sideboards to what this new language would allow.
That's my understanding, is what you just described, through the chair, Representative Seaton.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Representative Kawasaki is next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a letter. Are we on the U version of the bill?
No, negative. We are actually on the version C, CS for Senate Bill 190, Labor and Commerce version 28, LS1466/C.
Oh, okay then. Okay.
Sure. Oh, okay. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 2, where it says, starting in the middle of line 2, an unlicensed person may only assist in providing a guiding service under this subsection if a licensed registered guide outfitter, a Class A assistant guide, or an assistant guide is physically present. Now, is the owner the people that want to come in and say, I want to go and hunt, the owner of the guide himself or whatever, he doesn't have to be on site, but somebody that's licensed does?
That's correct, through the chair of Representative Wilson.
Okay, and then it says, or assistant guide. So our assistant guides have to be licensed also?
Through the chair of Representative Wilson, that's correct.
Okay.
I will notice to give Gary some lifelines. We do have also online available to answer questions Captain Burke Waldron with the State Troopers, Kelly Vrim, who's the chair of the Big Game Commercial Services Board, Rich Rohr, who's the former chair of the Big Game Commercial Services Board, Rod Arno is online, and Sarah Chambers with the Division of Corporations, Businesses, and Professional Licensing. So for more detailed questions on subject matter issues, they're available for our questions. Representative Kawasaki, do you have a question again? Or?
Version C is a little bit different than the versions I just didn't have this version in front of me. I do have a question on page 2. Under section C, the person who does not hold a license, and I think it lets the board sort of adopt policy or regulation to that effect. And I guess the words delegation in previous versions were the ones that gave me the most trouble. And I'm just curious if it's the sponsor intent, that delegation would still be done. Just the words aren't in the bill anymore, so
through the chair, Representative Kawasaki, that was the concern raised before, was with that word delegation, and we tried to address those concerns by, in particular, Section 1B, by replacing delegation with assist. Section 1C is really, my understanding, is just more about being able to compensate folks again for those services they provide by a non-licensed person.
Okay.
Other questions from the committee? Representative Seaton.
Thank you. I'm just trying to understand the difference between A and B. So that under A, when a person isn't in training, then they can provide these services: packing, preparing, salvaging, or caring for the client's meat, packing trophies, or packing camping equipment. And then under B, they can do all of these other other activities, but that must be with a client that's there, and they're guiding a client. So that's in training for what?
Through the chair, of Representative Seaton, Section 1A really is a delegation of authority, but it's only to be able to carry things, meat, camping equipment, things like that. Section 1B is more of an assisted apprenticeship program, where a licensed guide outfitter, Class A assistant guide, or an assistant guide must be physically present. And I think that's kind of the basic distinguishing factor between Section 1A and Section 1B. Is that
okay? And follow up. And maybe this would be for the trooper. I just want to make sure that everybody understands the words carefully, that tracking, killing, or attempting to kill, that's allowed under, for a client when they're under a training purposes, or when they're on that kind of a hunt, how that's established or confined, and is that only at certain times? Is that anticipated to be? I mean, it's going to be under regulations, but I have no idea what that, the context that is.
Through the chair, of Representative Seaton, we do have Captain Waldron online too, from the Alaska Wildlife Troopers. If you want, you might be able to add more to that.
Thank you, Captain Waldron. If you give us your name on the record and address Mr. Representative Seaton's question, then I've got a follow up for you on the same topic. So, go ahead, sir.
Yes, certainly. For the record, my name is Captain Burke Waldron, Alaska Wildlife Trooper and stationed in Palmer. The difference we're speaking of. 54635 A and B, the difference between A and B. Is that correct, Representative?
That's correct. Yeah, we're on page 1 of the bill, and we're looking at, starting with line 12, subparagraph 1B.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. the paragraph B allows an apprenticeship program where an unlicensed apprentice, so to speak, would be able to, under the direct supervision of a registered guide, Class A assistant guide, or an assistant guide, all were licensed positions. So they would be personally in direct supervision with a licensed guide. It allows them to assist in the pursuit and the taking of animals. But they have to be in the accompaniment of the licensed position, a licensed guide. In paragraph A, they're allowed to pack things, meat and trophies and things of that sort, and they're allowed to do that unaccompanied. They can do that alone.
Is that your question? President Seaton, follow-up question?
So thank you, and I'm just unfamiliar with all the statutory provisions. So an assistant guide, do they then have the ability to stalk, pursue, track, kill the animals?
They have the licensed authority to guide a client to do those things. So they're participating in the take.
So,
but they're not supposed to be the actual shooter, so to speak.
And that was my concern. Here we have this that seems to say that they are having actually more authority than the assistant guide, because they're specifically on line 14, stalking, pursuing, tracking, killing, or attempting to kill big game animals. And I just want to make sure that we aren't having non-licensed personnel allowed to do more than the lower-level licensed personnel are permitted to do.
Through the chair, Mr. Representative, that language, stalking, pursuing, tracking, killing, that comes from the definition of take. And so the unlicensed apprentice has no more would have no more authority or ability to do those things than the licensed guide that is accompanying, that is supervising them in the field.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Cap Waldron, kind of to those points, on line 13, it talks about the person may assist in providing the guide services, doing these things. May he actually do those things? May he do the tracking, killing? And just how do you draw the conceptual line between assisting someone else doing it and doing it yourself?
Well, my understanding of what the intent is basically, it's an apprenticeship program, of course, so they can do all of those things when they're in the supervision of a licensed guide. So they can help. They can help spot. They can help stalk. They can help pursue all of those things that currently they're not allowed to do.
Okay, but the distinguishing element of that situation is just that they're there under the supervision of a licensed guide or assistant guide for training purposes.
That's correct.
Okay, good deal. Thank you, Representative Kawasaki.
No, I guess I don't really have much of a problem the way this is written now. Just a comment on the need for such a program generally, I guess. I mean, I don't want to have people that are unlicensed remain unlicensed indefinitely if they should actually be licensed. Just throwing that out there.
Is that a question or?
Nope.
All right, Bruno. Other questions from the committee? Seeing none, we do have a couple of folks who'd like to testify on this, so we will open public here, public testimony, and go offline first to Palmer. I'm sorry, we just did it again. To Kodiak, where we have some old friends. Mr. Dick Rohr, online to talk about SB 190. So if you can give us your name on the record and your testimony on the bill, please. Mr. Rohr. Dick Rohr. They're not down there? Or anywhere? Okay. Then we'll roll on down the public testimony list to Mr. Kelly Vrem of Sutton. If you can hear me, Mr. Vrem?
Yes, I can. Thank you for the opportunity to testify here. I'm the chairman of the Big Game Commercial Services Board.
Mr. Vrem, I'm sorry. Sir, you have to give us your name officially. Just give us your name and title.
Yes. Kelly Vrem. V-R-E-M is my last name.
Good deal, sir. Thank you. Proceed.
Okay, thanks. This bill it's not granting anyone any powers or any abilities that didn't exist before. It simply clarifies it. The guiding industry was operating under this system where we could hire people to pack meat and pay them to do that, or we could hire them to pack meat and then also have some folks go along and be instructed to gain the necessary days in the field and the years of experience to become a assistant guide. You can do that now legally as long as you're not paid. We were under the guiding industry was under the assumption that these were already legal and we could do these things. Come to find out, the very precise language contained in the definition of guiding apparently precluded that. So this is a housekeeping measure. So right now, I could go get a person from a village and haul him over to pack a moose. If I gave him the meat, technically that means he was being compensated, he or she. So this bill allows for us to compensate people for removing game meat from the field. And always before we had assumed that that was legal, and we were surprised that it wasn't. And then part B, a person has to have 60 days of training in the field before they can even apply for an assistant guide license. So if they wanted to volunteer their time and not be compensated, currently we could do that. But that's unrealistic to expect somebody to give up 60 days of their time to be an apprentice. So this bill just simply allows us to train these people under our direct supervision. And direct supervision, I believe, is construed to mean within voice control. We're not saying that you have to be 8 feet away, but through a normal voice, the licensed person has to be in control of this unlicensed person. And the regulations that the Big Game Commercial Services Board intends to adopt will reflect this, that it's a very close proximity, and it's going to be within voice control that this person can assist. And if I had my way, that word assist would have been participate. That might be a little more accurate description of what's going on there. They're observing and participating. And hopefully we'll be able to pass this and be able to compensate them while they're doing that. So that's it. I'd be glad to entertain any further questions.
Any questions for Mr. Brehm? Representative Feige.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, Mr. Brehm. Just in your opinion, what will this do to the overall professionalism of the guiding industry in Alaska?
Oh, it would allow it to be raised. There's already, as I stated before, there's already some requirements that a person has to have 60 days of hunting experience in the state, and at least 30 of which is in a guide camp. Well, so we got a law that says you got to be trained to be a guide, but now there's apparently a conflict. You can't get the training and be compensated for it. So this is going to raise the standards for guiding and also protect what's currently customary. So this is going to be a valuable asset to the guides to be able to train their personnel more thoroughly.
Yeah.
And
follow up, Representative Feige.
And Mr. Brehm, do you believe this will contribute to just the overall health of the guiding industry in the state?
Oh yes. Yeah, it will be because we're the guiding industry right now. We're increasing the skill set and the qualification to become an assistant guide, and we're going to be increasing the skills and the time and service for assistant guides to also operate. So overall, the Commercial Services Board is in the process of upping the standards, and this is going to go hand in glove with that. But this is the first step.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Feige. I know some packers, if they're some guides, if they have the control of their packers within the sound of their voice, that's about 2 square miles worth of voice control.
Packing though, that's strictly labor. That's pure muscle.
Okay,
and the part B is a close contact situation.
Thank you, Mr. Brehm. Any other questions for Kelly Brehm? If not, thank you for your testimony, sir. We have Kodiak back. Thank you. Kodiak is back online, and they were first in line, so I'm going to go to Kodiak and hear from Dick Rohrer first, if we could, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize for pushing the off button instead of the top button.
Good deal.
So now that we're back online, I caught some of what Kelly had to say, and I'll probably duplicate most of that. I just wanted to give you a brief statement about my history and experience and credentials, and it all relates to this piece of legislation. I came to Alaska in 65. Went to work as an unpaid apprentice for George Pollard on the Kenai Peninsula. Came back in 67, worked for him that season as well. In 1969, I moved to Alaska, established residency. In 1970, Mr. Pollard contacted me and said, based on my abilities as an apprentice, he felt I was qualified to be issued an assistant guide license, which he wrote that recommendation, and I became a licensed guide. We fast forward 40 years in 2005 when the Big Game Commercial Services Board was reinstated. I was not the chairman, but one of the two guides appointed to that board, and one of the things that the board's intended to do was to pass some regulations to raise the standard and professionalism of guides, and included in that, Kelly already addressed, was a regulation that we passed which defined the practical experience requirement for someone who wanted to be licensed as assistant guide. So this practical experience had to be acquired prior to licensure. The statute for assistant guides requires 2 years of experience, and the board further defined or further qualified that by requiring at least 30 days in each of 2 years, and at least 30 of those 60 days experience, this is prior to licensure, the applicant had to, and I will quote from our regulations, has knowledge in trophy judging, taping, skinning, butchering, meat and trophy care, and has directly participated in the spotting, stalking, and subsequent harvest of at least 3 big game animals during a guided hunt in this state. So once he met those requirements, then he could apply for an assistant license. Fast forward until about 2 years ago, that was the practice of the industry from the time I came to Alaska in 1965 till within about 2 years ago, when the troopers, with the concurrence from the Department of Law, that determined that because of the statutory definition of guiding, which includes all of these things we're addressing in this bill, that only a licensed person could provide those services, and therefore anyone who we were paying as an apprentice in camp was in violation of the law. That brought us to this bill. It's been very adequately explained, and I was prepared to go through each section and point out critical issues. I think you've already, those questions have already been answered, except two that I want to be specific about and make clear to Representative Seaton that on those items listed on line 14 of page 1 do all come from the statutory definition of guiding. That's where those terms come from. And I thought I heard a question from Representative Kawasaki about his concern of not just having a group of unlicensed people that are providing these activities and they wouldn't bother getting a license. I can assure you, as the contracting guide, that is not going to happen. Because when I'm training someone who is unlicensed, I have to not only pay the trainee, I have to pay the licensed guide that is assisting the client as well. And since the unlicensed person cannot assist the client without a licensed guide being physically present, there's no financial incentive for me to attempt to continue to hire unlicensed people once they are fully qualified to be licensed. And with that, if you have any specific questions, be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Rohr. And for record, that's Dick Rohr, is that correct?
Dick or Richard.
Richard, okay. And questions for Richard Rohr? Seeing none, thank you very much, sir. And up next, we have another. I should note also we have present for questions, if necessary, Sarah Chambers with the Division of Corporations. I'm sorry, Director of the Division of Corporations. And Thor Stacey with the Professional Hunters are available for questions as well. But going back to Kodiak Online for public testimony, Sam Rohr. Just make sure you give us your name.
Good afternoon, Chairman Feige and Saddlers and House Resource Committee. My name is Sam Rohr. I'm the president of the Alaska Professional Hunters Association. And I will be testifying in support of Senate Bill 190. And I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to hear my testimony. As my father and Kelly, who both testified in front of me, clearly stated, this legislation is extremely important to the guiding industry. But I want to just briefly talk about another aspect of why this is important that they haven't touched on yet. I first started working for my father in his hunting camp when I was 14 years old. I worked as a packer, skinner, spotter, boat wrangler, basically whatever needed done. My first year working in his camp, he paid me for my work by buying me my first set of binoculars. They're a great set of 10x40 Zeiss's that I actually still have and use from time to time, or let my kids use. I now have four kids of my own. My oldest is Anna. She's 10 years old. She spends some time out of camp with me, and I'm trying to teach her a work ethic. But without this legislation, I can't compensate her for helping me out at camp. I can't pay her for helping me skin. I can't pay her for sitting on the hill with me looking through a set of binoculars trying to teach her what a guide does. I can't even compensate her by giving her a set of binoculars like my father did. If I did that, I'd be breaking the law. This is a shame. It's quite frankly ridiculous, and it needs fixed. This is good common sense legislation, and it needs to be passed. Thank you for listening to my testimony, and I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you, Sam. I would observe if you worked all summer for a pair of binoculars, you work cheap. And I'm sure hard.
Well, I don't work that cheap anymore, but yeah.
Questions for Sam Rohrer? If not, thank you for your testimony, sir. We'll go down the list here to Rod Arno. We'll pick you back up in Homer. Mr. Arno, give us your name for the record and give us your testimony on 190.
Yes, thank you, Co-Chairman Sadler, committee members. My name is Rod Arno. I live in Palmer, Alaska, and I'm the executive director of the Alaska Outdoor Council. The Outdoor Council is made up of 48 different clubs statewide and about 2,500 individual members. AOC does support the passage of SB 190. Normally, AOC doesn't get involved in or tries to stay out of issues having to deal with the guide industry. But this is an important one. We have members who are guides, we have members who hunt with guides, and we have members who consider guides as competition for game. But the importance of this legislation is the fact that you'll have knowledgeable guides coming up into the industry. That there's a lot of things that you can practice. You can practice your camping, you can practice photography, but you can't practice killing without being on the scene. And it's very important for young guides to have that apprentice opportunity and to be compensated for it. That we believe that the bill is well structured, you know, clearly in A, it says other than packing, just the salvaging and care of the client's meat, those are things that can be done without direct supervision. And B makes it pretty clear the way we read it, it says may assist in providing the guide services. So we see that as an opportunity for individuals to gain that needed experience to be good quality guides in the future, and that's very important to Alaska. AOC thanks Senator Huggins for introducing the legislation, and the only concern we, you know, do have is in Section 3, page 5, on equal responsibility that makes sure that that coincides with AS 0854710B, where it's the licensees that are potentially in a position where they can be disciplined as guides and transporters. So we want to make sure that the unlicensed packer, you know, is treated fairly in that situation. The legislation then creating the big game commercial services by the legislature was extremely important. AOC wants to see the big game commercial services board work. And this is, you know, a question that we have that when this has to come back to needing statutory changes, that something in that process isn't as good as it could be. And we appreciate the legislature continually watching and participating in the Big Game Commercial Services Board activities. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Arno. And stay close to the microphone. We're having a little bit of difficulty understanding you, but you had mentioned that you had a minor concern with an item on page 5, section 3. Just confirm for me which version of the bill and where exactly that was.
Okay, I have version C.
Okay.
And the equal responsibility under ASOA 547110.
That's on which page?
Eight.
Okay, on page, okay.
Line
1. Good. Okay, good. Just wanted
so
to
line 1, equal responsibility.
Gotcha.
In statute in ASOA 547110B, that there is a disciplinary responsibility for the licensees, and these packers will not be licensed. So we're wanting to make sure that that equal responsibility is clear.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Arno. I appreciate your calling to testify. I think everyone heard him okay. Any questions about what he said? Okay, good. We're kind of skating on the edge of intelligibility on the telephone. Not seeing anybody else signed up to testify online. Is there anybody in the room who'd like to testify on this bill? Nope. Okay, seeing none, public testimony is closed, and bring it back to the committee for discussion. Any questions for any of the folks online or the sponsor? Represent Kawasaki.
Yeah, this would be to the sponsor. It doesn't clearly state, for instance, you know, how many licensed guides per unlicensed person there would be. Is it? I guess I kind of understand the apprenticeship. Is it just one licensed guide per apprentice? Could there be a time where there's a lot of unlicensed persons and just one? One registered guide.
Through the chair of Representative Kawasaki, I'll take my best shot at this, but it might be better directed towards Kelly Vrim. I believe the intention here is not to have a bunch of unlicensed folks running around with one guide outfit or one Class A assistant guide or an assistant guide. I don't think that's what's envisioned here.
Okay.
Do you want to ask a question of an experienced guide?
Sure.
Great. Mr. Vrim, if you can hear us and heard Representative Kawasaki's question, could you go to WAC?
Yes, I heard that. And, you know, theoretically, I suppose you could have a half a dozen of these apprentices with one licensed guide. Practically speaking, though, it would be one at a time. It takes a certain amount of stealth to accomplish your mission. And going down off the ridge across the swamp to kill a moose in Alaska is vastly different than a procession in Africa in the savannah with a string of porters and a big gaggle of folks. Practically speaking, we're looking at one apprentice with one licensed guide in a camp. There may be two or three apprentices employed by a registered guide, and they'll be scattered out throughout the camp, so some will be back in main camp. But I can see your point. Theoretically, it would be possible to have a number of people, but practically speaking, that's pretty counterproductive. So I would say theoretically, yes. Practically, no. That wouldn't be the case.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And for the record, that's Kelly Vrim who just spoke. Question. Representative Seaton.
Yeah, for the testifier who was just online, if you're still there, somebody had said in testimony that they were under voice, that the unlicensed person would be under voice command or voice communication. I don't see that specifically in the bill. Is that on page 2, line 4, where it said, or assistant guide is physically present? Is that the assumption that what that means?
Mr. Vrim, can you answer that question?
Yes, that's the assumption. It's not, and this is while you're engaged in spotting, stalking, attempting to kill the animal. So that's the assumption, and that's what I guess the regulation would be to specify that. We don't want somebody 2 miles away because then they're not learning anything. They got to be right there, and they got to be at some point in time within whispering distance when it gets to be the appropriate time. So it's a close supervision scenario, and the board intends to enact regulations to specify that.
Thank you for that clarification. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, so just clarify, so physically present is the test would be whether they're within vocal distance to be able to hear somebody, whether it's yelling or whispering, as the circumstances might dictate. Other questions? Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you. I have a question. I don't know who can best answer this. It's in regards to this. There's a lot of reasons why guides, licensed guides, Class A's, and assistant guides can lose their license. Lots of circumstances. What if an unlicensed person does something wrong?
Through the chair of representatives. Go ahead.
Or whoever. I don't care.
You want to take that, Charlie? Or?
No, I was just, Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Kawasaki, I was going to either recommend Mr. Vrim or Captain Waldron.
Actually, that's a fair question for the troopers. So, Captain Waldron, if you could answer that question, what happens if a packer misbehaves or breaks the law?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Kawasaki. Depending upon what the misbehave, as the question was phrased, what misbehaving the packer did would dictate what kind of action could follow up. Certainly, when the apprentice packer applies for a license in the future, that kind of history would be exposed to the board, and the board could take it into consideration on whether they choose to issue him a license or not. In addition to that, like I said, depending upon the misbehaving would dictate what kind of potential criminal action the wildlife troopers could take on the packer.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Good deal. Then we'll bring it back and ask what the will of the Resources Committee is.
Just in discussion.
Okay. Discussion, Representative Feige.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Senate Bill 190 is a fine piece of legislation. It is part of a sort of the continuation of a sequential improvement of these statutes that we've, over the period of the last two or three years, have gradually made, small changes that better clarified and further defined what we expected folks within the guiding industry to do. It's been done in conjunction with the Big Game Commercial Services Board. They've been very proactive and advocating for these changes. And as Mr. Vrim indicated in his testimony, and I agree, it will promote the overall health of our Alaska guiding industry, a key traditional industry in the state of Alaska. I believe it will, just like Mr. Vrim said, it will raise the overall level of professionalism in the industry. But I think some of the concerns regarding specific, this and that, and, how many people and, how close do they have to be, a lot of those points, certainly while good to consider as part of the debate on the bill, the specificity of that should be left for the board to write into regulations, and I have the highest confidence that they will do an outstanding job.
So, thank you. Other comments? Oh, good deal. Thank you for that. What is the will of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I move to report the CS for Senate Bill 190, version 28-LS1466/C. Out of committee with attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Very good. Thank you. Any objections to the motion? If not, we'll pass from committee. And I think that's it for our agenda today. So we will adjourn this meeting at 2:20 p.m.